I was moved by the heartfelt prayers of Karen and Trix in particular. And in a very real way, this is exactly what this sermon is about today. Trouble in the world. Identity in a troubled world. Who is God? Where is God? Who are we? And how are we to live in brokenness, in the real stuff of life, the things that happen? Most of the time, I think we motor along and we and things just seem to go well. But then we can hit that patch of road that well, there's many speed bumps, so the road is broken, and it throws us off course. And so today's sermon, My Father and Yours, is looking at John chapter 14, 1 through 14. It is the third sermon in a series that we've started, even though we started a little bit before the official start of Lent. We are already walking that road with Jesus. We're looking at the conversation that Jesus had with his disciples in the upper room, where he basically sits them down and he says, "Know this," and it really is this sense of Jesus knows that he is walking this road towards death, towards crucifixion. He knows that he will die, he will give up his life. And before that happens, he wants to have an intimate, real conversation with his followers. So, in a sense, it's that bedside conversation. Maybe you've had that experience where someone lies dying and they have a few things to say. To you, to their family, and that's kind of the setting of this discourse. We call it a teaching, a discourse, but it really is much more of an intimate one-on-one kind of conversation that Jesus has with his disciples, and now also with us. So I invite you into that again today, the third. The first, Jesus leads by example, and so he sat down, he kneeled at his disciples' feet, and he washed their feet. He says, "Before I say anything, I want to show you what I'm about." And then the second sermon, we took that portion of scripture where we were shocked all of a sudden by betrayal and denial, but by this stark tension, this difference between darkness and light. Here is Jesus, the light of the world, the glory of God shining through his face, but he stands amidst the darkness of Judas' betrayal, Peter's denial. That's where we are in the discourse, and today we are going to read chapter 14, 1 through 14. Hear now God's word. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Now Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." And Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I say to you, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these. Because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is the word of God. Verse 1, the opening words, Jesus speaks to his disciples after he speaks this pronouncement that, Peter, surely you will deny me, before the rooster crows three times. And right after that, he speaks these words. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Now, there's lots of reason for troubled hearts. Judas, one of them, the one that they had entrusted with the money, that kept, he was the most faithful in that sense, right? And when he went out of that place, they thought that maybe he was going to use some of that money to look for provisions. They trusted him completely. It was he who denied Jesus, or betrayed Jesus. And then that awful pronouncement that Jesus makes, that prediction, Peter, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. There were lots of reasons for troubled hearts. They had just been given this task of washing the feet of the world. Does that feel like a heavy task? Where was this all going? And Jesus says to them, do not let your hearts be troubled. Are you troubled? We've heard people testify to, in weary voices, in teary voices, with teary eyes, I mean, speaking of trouble, them being in a place where they have seen darkness. Many of you have stopped watching the news altogether because you say, well, that's just depressing. Do not let your hearts be troubled, Jesus says. And then he goes on. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. These words have taken on special meaning for me because when my father died now 4 years ago, going on five, it were the words that my sister Derma used to speak to her kids, five young kids, who were devastated by losing their grandfather. And how do you explain? How do you explain to an adult? How do you explain to a little kid? And my sister turned to these words. She had been renovating one of the rooms of her children. They had been painting and putting some new things in the room, and they were excited about that. And she said, and God has done that for Opa. And so Opa is going. He's excited to be going to this newly renovated room that's made especially for him. And that moved me. And it is through through that event that I now always read these words. We do tend to think of these words as referring to heaven, don't we? Do not be troubled, because I have a place for you. In my Father's house. My Father's house, he goes on to say, has many rooms. You don't have to worry that you're going to get there and say, sorry, full. No, my Father's house has many rooms. And the King James Version uses the word mansions. Mansions of Glory is one of the songs. It refers to that phrase. Mansions. I think this is related to the fact that in Eastern cultures, you never lose a place in your father's house. Even when you go and leave the house and get married and establish your own house, you can always come back and there will always be a room reserved for you. You can always claim that. It'll always be there for you. So mansions, I don't know if... I think dwelling places is what some translations use. I like that image. And I like that image because when Jesus came onto the earth, he says the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Now, we tend to think of this passage as talking about heaven, about somewhere away from here, over there. But if it is true that in my Father's house there are many rooms, and these rooms is where you dwell, and Jesus dwells with us, I think it enriches kind of the image. It is not a place far away. It's not a place that one day we will show up and live. In my Father's house, there are many rooms, and it is always there for you. You will never walk back to my Father's house and find your room occupied by someone else. That room will be there for you. There will always be, it says, a place for you. If I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me where I am. My Father's house. Many rooms. A place. It's no wonder, I think, it's not a surprise that this is the image that forms in our minds when we read these words. This the gates of heaven are open wide, and there is the mansion of God in all its glory. And there is a room, a mansion that is waiting for you. And therefore, I think it is not surprising then that Thomas, also with that understanding and with that picture in his mind, he says, how can we know the way? He wants to know how to get there to that mansion in the sky. He wants to claim his room. He wants to claim his place in that mansion. How can we know the way? How can we know the way to your Father's house? Thomas, the doubter. And we hear that doubt creeping in as he asked that question. But I appreciate the fact that he asked the question. Maybe the other disciples didn't want to ask the dumb question. And sometimes when people ask the question, you find out that there's definitely a handful of others who wanted to but didn't dare because they wanted to save their pride. And what I appreciate about Thomas, he doubts. He's known as the doubter, but he's really is authentic. He says, I don't get it. How do we get to that marvelous place that you're describing, your Father's house, a mansion with many rooms that has a place for me? How do I get there? And then Jesus has this curious answer. Jesus answered, the way, I am the way and the truth and the life. And Jesus goes parable again. We think we like parables. But when you get into them, you say, what exactly does that mean? At first, you're talking about a mansion, a glorious place that is for us. And when I ask you how we get there, you say, I am the way. I want you to notice, first of all, when he says, I am the way, it will remind any Jewish person, I am who I am. And so when Jesus makes this statement, I am, it takes the Jewish mind to a different place, to a holy place, to a glorious place, to the place of God. Yahweh. The name that they didn't even dare utter. Jesus says, I am. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And then he goes on and he says, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. And now Thomas is saying, I wish I hadn't asked. Because I'm asking a relatively simple question. You're asking me, you're presenting this mansion of glory, this place in heaven, many rooms, a mansion. I want to see that. And I want to know how to get there. And now Jesus starts talking in parables again. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. And Jesus starts talking about relatedness rather than location. I didn't ask that. Tell me, now, I think we often do this. Even as Christians in the modern society, we ask that question, you want to get to heaven? And people say, yeah, of course. What's the alternative? Well, and then we start talking about a relationship with Jesus. You say, here we go again. Right? So this isn't entirely off the wall or new, or it still happens today. And Jesus says to his disciples, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. And then, and I don't know if you noticed, but in our passage, in the passage that we read, there's a lot of Father statements. No one comes to the Father except through me. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? And this is too much. This is too much for Thomas. And he decides, okay, he, that's enough. Sorry I asked. But what's interesting is that all of this is talking about relationship rather than place. Rather than rooms, rather than trying to define, imagine, how many of us have tried to imagine what heaven is like? Golden streets. And I hear many conversations. What will it be like? And we all have our own version of what heaven looks like, that place that is promised to us. And we are focused on place. And Jesus answers with, not with place. He answers with, I am the way, and the Father's in me. You are my brothers and sisters, and therefore you are sons and daughters of God, who is our Father. And so he takes that question about place and location and the physical stuff that we deal with as human beings, the concrete stuff, that's what's real. And we try to imagine something real. Even if it is in heaven, we can't see it. All this stuff of relationship. I've been hurt way too many times by relationships. But Jesus steps into it with both feet. He says, it isn't about a place. It is about the Father. My Father. And because of me, your Father. It's not about rules. It's not about rituals. It's not about religion. Do you know me? Do you really know me? And do you know that I'm the Son of the Almighty God? And I call him Father, Abba. Put your hand in mine. Walk with me. And he too will be your Father. The Creator God who put his stamp on you from the very beginning. In the image of God, he made them male and female, he made them. But not just male and female, sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, who is our brother. Jesus answers this question by focusing on relationship. Do not be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me also. Believe me, he says, when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, believe me. I wouldn't lie to you. I'm the way and the truth. And I give you life. What Jesus is talking about touches the very thing that tricks prayed for, identity. When Jesus says, believe in me, when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, he is touching upon identity. There's a little girl walking in the street and she looks lost and she's crying. Her eyes are wet with tears and she's troubled. And you stop your car. They say, are you all right? Where do you live? Where is your mommy? Where is your daddy? The place is tied to family, to identity. When we ask the child, where do you live? It's not so much about where do you live? It's about where is your father and where is your mother? When Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled, my Father's place has many rooms, it's not for us to try and imagine what heaven is like and the streets of gold. It's about pointing you to the way home. You are home when you are with the Father. This is a statement of identity, not a description of heaven. Jesus, when he met his disciples, says, come, follow these rules, believe these doctrines, make sure that you get your theology straight. He doesn't say any of that. He says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Relationship, me and you, the Father, I. In my Father's house, there's room for you. There's a place for you. Jesus' answer to Thomas and Philip is not about heaven. It is about a relationship to the Father, which forms our identity, which gives us a place. It's a statement of belonging. When Jesus answers the way he does, don't let your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house there are many rooms. He's saying, I will show you the way. I will show you your place. I will show you where you belong. I will show you who you are. The mistake that many of us make is that we think that we have to wait until we get to heaven. I can't wait until I get to heaven and I find my room. And I find you have a place there now. You have a place with God now. Jesus Christ, the reason that he has made his dwelling among us, the Word became flesh, and he lives among us, is because we've been separated from our home. We've been separated from our Father. And Jesus comes and he dwells with us. He lives with us. When you relate to Jesus, you are relating to the Son of God. You are walking into the embrace of the Father. You ever have your children bring someone home? And you say, hey, no problem, a friend of Matt is a friend of mine. You welcome them because of their relatedness. And you say, consider yourself welcome in our home. Jesus' answer to Thomas, to Philip, is not to provide us with the description of heaven. It is to teach us about who we are and where we belong. You are, according to Ephesians, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work. And if we look in our own passage, John 14, verse 10, it says, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. That's what Jesus says. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father at work. It is he who sent me. It is he who sent me to you to bring you back to him. To help you realize that just as I am his son, so you are son of God, daughter of God. When you are brother and sister to Christ, you are part of the family. And that place for you, it's always there. That room will be there. This reminds me of Anna Marie's grandmother. She was 98, and she said something to the effect of, when she was nearing death, she says, I'm ready to claim our room. She didn't use those words. She says, I'm ready to die, but not yet. But not just yet. She wasn't here. She was already here on this earth, in the presence of God, her Father. And she wasn't afraid that that room would be taken away. Her identity was now, and that identity would take her into this glorious place, into this room. But even now, she was in the loving and strong arms of the Father. If you live your life putting all your hope in that place, at that time, you are missing. You are missing the fact that you are God's son and you're God's daughter now. That place will be there for you. Don't you worry about that. Worry about what I've given you to do here. There are many who don't know. There are many who don't know that they have a loving Father in heaven, an almighty God who cares about them. Who's calling them into being with him and doing for him and doing it in his strength. Jesus says, even me, it is the Father who's living in me who's doing this work. I tell you the truth. Get this. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Because when you're related to me, when you become my brother, when you become my sister, you're a son and daughter of God. Anyone will do what I have been doing. Because you too are defined by the place God has given you through Christ. And that place is not going to be received there. It is given to you here, right now. It gives you an identity, a place to belong. You may ask me for anything in my name, says Jesus Christ, and I will do it. Through my Father who lives in me and also in you. Anything in my name. Now, some of you critics, any critics among you? You say, I've asked for stuff. Never got it. Anybody ever asked that? Am I the only one who has the hand up here? That makes me feel really lonely. I think James answered this question because he must have heard that question as well. I didn't write it down, and I'm sorry, and I sure hope that I can find it back, because otherwise I'm going to look real foolish. And of course, here we are. Is it? I mean Hebrews. That doesn't help. Okay, let me just scoot over to James. James, where are you? James, dear James, where are you? Now I can't find it. When you ask, James says, you do not receive, James 4 verse 2. When you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. It's not about your pleasures, it's about God's pleasure, about what he wants you to do and what he wants you to be. And he wants you to work for him, and he wants you timed perfectly to walk into people's lives and to offer them grace as he offers you grace in his timing. You may ask anything in my name, the name of Christ, your brother, and you are sons and daughters of God. He must become greater. I must become less. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. John chapter 14, 1 through 14 are meant to be for us words of a great comfort. Now and for what lies ahead, you have a place. Do not let your hearts be troubled. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? Words of comfort when you doubt. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? You are mine, and the Father enfolds you. Because you are mine, I can handle your doubts. When you lose perspective, How can you say, show us the Father? Jesus says in a moment, perhaps of frustration or exasperation. But it doesn't take anything away from the fact that you are my brother, my sister, and he, Almighty God, is your Father even now. When you feel inadequate or ill-equipped, Jesus says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things. Why? Because it is ultimately not you who do it, but it is the Father who lives in you who does his work through you. We hear many excuses. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, I don't think that I want to take that on. Good. You're not called to take it on. You're called to let God do his work in you and through you. Are you willing to offer yourself for service? Are you willing to be vulnerable? Are you willing to be shown weak so that he can show what he can do even in your weakness and inadequacy? In any circumstance, Jesus says to us, you may ask me for anything at any time. In my name, I've shown you how to live. And I will do it. I will do it for you. I will do it through you. I will do it with you. Because I am the Son of God. And you are my brother and my sister. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, my Father, who is also yours. Believe also in me, and together we will show the world that God loves them. Father, there are so many people that are struggling with identity, with struggling with purpose, that are living their lives uselessly, that are saving their money, they're investing in properties only to come to that point at the end of their life and say, what have I done with the time that God has given me? Who am I? Have I done what God wanted me to do? I may be successful in the eyes of the world or not, but have I trusted in you? Have I lived my life for you? Have I lived my life with the assurance that I am a child of God and you are my good, good Father? In all my weakness, in all my pain, in all my doubt, in all my inadequacy, in all my weakness, I am your son. I am your daughter. And you cannot love me any less for the things that I do or don't do. You are mine. I am your father. I look for you. My heart aches for you. I love you. I love you so much that I'm willing to give up my throne in heaven. I'm willing to give up my son whom I love. I'm willing to give up all honor and all glory to die on the cross so that you may know who you are. You are mine. Son of God, daughter to the King. Come. Know who you are and walk into this world, into the places of darkness, and serve like I served. Dwell in those places that are hard, where people are hurting. And you will bring light in dark places, and you will bring life to those who are dead. I died for you so that you might live. You are my son. You are my daughter. I am your God, Almighty God and loving Father. Go. You are mine. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Amen.